So hello, 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 and welcome. I have a very dear friend and a very wise woman, a woman that I first met years back when I was working on happiness and love. And her name is Julie Renee, and she is a light worker like no other, healer. I don't even know how to exactly introduce you. Welcome, Julie Renee.
Thank you. I am delighted to be here.
I think we first met when I was working. I had Marcy Shymoff kind of connected us. Is that right?
Yeah.
Because you two had been friends when she was like in Marin or something.
Yeah, I was in Marin too. Yeah.
Right? That's
Yeah.
right. And just tell us a little bit about this sort of belief that you have, live, and practice on our capacity for healing, because I'm not sure people really understand it the way that you do.
Okay. Yeah. I'm so happy to do that. Speaking as a person who's died twice and met the angel of death and had a conversation with him. I believe that I know that we are meant to stay as long as we intend to be here. And even though maybe my body was thinking that it was time to go, my whole rest of me, which is my energetic celestial self, said, nope, I'm not done. And I stayed and I held on to my body. I pushed myself back in saying, no, I'm not done with this. I have a lot more to do.
Julie, I just want to break you here, because in all the time we've spoken, I don't know that I knew that these were like near-death experiences, or as you said, like you actually died. Just tell us a little bit more about one of those experiences. Tell us a little bit more about that. That's very fascinating to me.
Well, the first time that I died, I was 24, 96 pounds, and had been really struggling with cancer. I'd had cancer, terminal cancer, while I was pregnant. The doctor wanted me to abort, and I wouldn't. And I actually carried him full term, my son.
Wow.
And then I became very ill afterwards. I was 104 pounds and just green. My skin was green when he was born. I was so sick. I was able to give him a life, which is really important. And then a few months later, I dropped. I couldn't keep the weight on, so I was 96 pounds.
Wow.
And that was when I collapsed. And I saw my celestial body went above my molecular structure, I'll call it. And I was looking down at my body and saying, and I was seeing my life pass before me. They say, you see your life pass. I did. I saw everything. I saw all of, and I said, I'm not ready, God. I am not ready to go. And as I, you know, had a couple of things that I had to come back for. One was I felt that I was bringing something spiritual in that needed to be brought in. The other was I had really wanted a place with children, and I had three children. At that point, it was, God, I need to see my children grow up, which ends up being I need to take care of lots of children in the world. And
right?
So that's kind of how that came about, that first one. Then there was an experience where I was hit by a car. I was 46 and out walking, and I bled out through my head, and I was kind of broken up, but I was laying on the street and everybody was looking at me mortified. And I was like, I got to get up and go. I got to go to work. You know, I've got someone to take care of.
You're like, I don't have time for this accident.
Yeah, I really. And there were angels saying, stay by your body, honey. We're going to stay with you. It's not your time to go. Just stay close to your body. You know, so they wanted my celestial self with my body. But when the EMTs got there and they put me into the ambulance, they discovered that I no longer had a heartbeat or any blood pressure.
Oh my gosh.
Which was really freaking them out.
Right?
But I was talking. I was talking. And so the one said to the other, oh my God, she doesn't blah, blah, blah. And he said, shut the F up. She doesn't know. Meaning, if she knew that she wasn't pumping blood anymore. She would just die on our table, you know, our bed or whatever. So
Yeah.
he had told her to him to be quiet. But little did they know, I had angels right there with me, and I was right there. I wasn't, what I had done then was my energetic self was really just connected very minorly to my head, and that's it. I wasn't connected to the rest of my body. My body was in a lot of pain. I was hit by a big Mercedes while I was out walking, so it hurt. It hurt for a long time. And
Wow.
right after that, about 7 months later, I from still laying in bed from that car accident where I had to have multiple surgeries on my leg, I developed a kidney infection, and it went really fast, like wildfire went into my heart and my brain. And I had what's called rigors, and I was shaking on the bed, and the angel of death came, one of the angels of death, there are a few, and he said, "Okay, you can come with me. It's time to go." I said, "No, I'm not going with you." And I said to him, "You know, I know who you are, but get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not leaving." And I said, "I know you're not Satan, but I'm not going with you. I have work to do, and I'm not done." So I managed to get to grab a phone while I'm shaking and dying, and get a friend to come over and take me to the hospital. And it was funny because I had to hold on to my body for like 3 hours. They were messing around in the
Oh my goodness.
emergency room, and they didn't realize how serious it was. And
Oh
then when
my.
they finally got the test back 3 hours later, they all come running in. There's like nine doctors and crash carts and IVs in both arms, and everybody's surrounding me like I'm going to be dead, which I'd been holding onto my body for 3 hours at that point. So it was funny. It was
Crazy.
hysterical to me. I was like, okay.
You know, it's fascinating when we look at like the work you've been able to do in the world and the people you've been able to help, the systems you've developed for healing and the systems. I know you've taught classes on healing your brain and now it makes perfect sense to me where you were given so much information about that. If someone's coming back from, say, a pretty horrendous injury, what are some things they can do? I know this is just a short little podcast, so we can't do all the answers to the whole infinity of everything. But what are just some practical things that people can begin to do when they know there is more, they know they can heal. You know what I'm saying?
Well, even if you know you if you don't know you can heal, I think you have to make up your mind that you can. I think even if everybody's saying there's no way, because I had a lot of doctors telling me there's no way. You're going to be bedridden and you're never going to walk again and all these crazy things. And I was like, no, I don't believe you. So I think being personally delusional is important. I mean, you just buy into it. It's like, no, and you're a happy, delusional person, supposedly, but you know it's true. Because you know we're miraculous beings, and we have God on our side, and God loves us, and so we have a vision of something that nobody else can hold for us. Then it looks like to everybody else you're delusional, but to you're just a happy camper. While I was laying in that bed for months, I would do yoga. I just was very disobedient about the leg being pinned from my crotch to pulling down on my ankle, and I would take it off and I would do yoga in bed. And I would read and I would sing and I would pray and just like doing, just being really in denial that I had something so terrible happen to me, you know, that my brain wasn't really working well. I was frustrated, but I just knew in my heart of hearts we have a miraculous system and an innate ability to heal. And I didn't know how much time it would take, and I didn't know how fast the act of God would happen with me, but I knew it would happen. I knew it would.
I love it. This is such a beautiful story. And then I want to fast forward for people because as someone who's adopted children myself, it isn't something that's necessarily easy, right? Tell me a little bit about your choices of having babies again, like, you know, decades after having your first children. Tell me a little bit about those choices and what that brings to you. And I think it sounds like maybe even more are coming.
Yeah, I think so. Yes. Well, with Adelia, I felt so she's seven, And I felt like I really wasn't done, that I needed to nurture children through their childhood. And that I still was so wanting and intending and committed to, with a female body, that it was a great fulfillment for me to be with children. So I adopted. I went through a private adoption agency, and at 58, filed and got the home study done and moved into a big house that I could have some kids in California. And Adelia was the first to come. And then she has some disabilities, so she's kind of a handful. And then I was ready. I was thinking I was going to adopt two or three kids. And we had a few private adoptions fail where they'd go through to the end, and then the mothers would change their mind, but they took all the money that you gave them to support them. So that was a little frustrating to me. And then
I've been
we
there
did
actually.
have a baby
Right?
boy, and then
Yeah.
he went back into the system, and I believe he passed away, but he was blind, deaf, and cocaine addicted. And then I came to Texas, and I thought, I think I must be done. But really, within a couple of weeks of being in Texas, God showed me a house that was my house that he wanted me to have. And at the time, my house in California had been in the fires. It hadn't burned, but there was damage to the house, and it was in a nice neighborhood. And so it took about 10 months to rebuild the house and remove a whole wall of the house and just everything. But I kept having this feeling like this house that God showed me at the beginning was my house. Turns out this house had sold three or four times, and the sale kept falling apart.
Oh my
And
goodness.
I made an offer on the house when the house, I had just fallen out of contract with a military guy who they were just being transferred out of the area, and he couldn't perform on the contract because they wouldn't be here. So God got me in here, and then I still was carrying double mortgages on both houses. And then my house in California is really a miracle, sold way over asking. So the first couple times, because it was right
Wow.
after fires, it was
That is amazing.
like undervalue,
That's
undervalue,
amazing.
undervalue.
I know. I
And
remember
then it
that.
went
Wow.
hugely over asking, and I was able to buy the house cash and put a swimming pool in. So I was really feeling like God wanted me in this big house, and he wanted me to take care of these beautiful children. Adelia is swims like a mermaid. I knew in my heart if I could put in a pool, Texas, we got heat all the time, so pools are really good.
Yeah.
So that's how that happened. And then when I looked around, and I thought the lower level is perfect for us, but we had an upper level. So then it ends up being bedrooms, more bedrooms, and a playroom and a big media room. And I was like, okay, God. And so when I heard a year and a half ago in July, I heard God say, I want you to have two more children. I thought, oh my goodness, okay. So I just in 10 weeks got myself licensed with the foster system here because I wanted to help with the border crisis. And I felt like the children, it was right after the pandemic too. So understanding there were less foster parents stepping up. So these poor babies that were born drug addicted and with infectious diseases were just being stuck
The system.
in orphanages. Sorry, not just foster, but just going into orphanages. And I felt like these babies wouldn't have any chance. And that was what God told me was my role. And so I have a beautiful son. He's 16 months old, and his adoption finalized finally this week. And he is, yeah, thank you. And such a blessing and such a happy boy. And he's just the light of my life. I just adore him completely. And actually, since you're asking, I think that we'll be receiving another child in early May. I had put a limit on, I wanted to wait until Henry was 18 months old because we had two babies at the same time. We had little Herbert, and he went back to a family member after 5 months. And I felt like I'm just going to give myself a little break before
Yeah,
I make
let your
another
heart
one.
heal.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking when you see, because he went to a family member that didn't want him and said a lot of unkind things about him. And I loved him so much. He was born with one of these terrible STDs that was affecting every part of him. And we healed him with lots of
Wow.
love. So I'm
Oh.
happy that he's well, and I'm sad that he went to a family that didn't want him, but
Yeah.
Can't control that.
Can't control that. Hey, why don't you tell me more about your programs and I kind of like what you like to help people with now and maybe I know that you do a lot of workshops and courses, so maybe just tell me a little bit about some of the things that you offer.
Yeah, we're doing mostly now we're doing year-long programs. So we have mastery programs, two levels. We have, and actually three, because we have the Forever program. And then we're all about aligning with God, who God created us to be from our core beginning. And we can look at where the celestial self was beginning to individuate and how that came into being way before physicality and all of that. So all of our classes do have that aspect to them. I feel like I'm like the spiritual celestial guide to clearing out the deep state on an energetic level. And so we do a lot of
I
clearing.
was going to say fairy godmother.
Yeah, fairy godmother, thank you. That's good.
You're right, because we need this so much on the planet, and
Yeah.
some of the old ugly energy does want to leave. Like it's ready to go, but it's
Yeah.
stuck in a lot of people's bodies and beings. And I do see that when you talk about it, it feels quite engaging, and yeah, it's very fascinating. It heals
Yeah.
the planet at the same time it heals the people, right?
100%. Actually, speaking of that, we do the Earth 8 clearings, we do political clearings, we do all kinds of like attacks, energetic attacks on different locations in the world, because I can see it. I can see it happening. So I can identify what is happening and remove it. So what I'm doing is mentoring. Yes, I do
Perfect.
one-to-ones. If people are wondering, do you do one-to-ones? I do. Those are not clairvoyant readings. Those are actually let's get to work and clear whatever, and activate whatever you need. But I'm very excited about mentoring people in gaining competence in the quantum field and in God's kingdom so that we are more and more like who he created us to be, with the power and the joy and the vibrancy and brilliance that God created us in.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming. I could interview you for like 3 days in a row. And then we'd have a book to publish. So that's a lot of work. But thank you so much for coming. And where can we reach you and find out more?
The website julierenee.com, julierenee.com.
Perfect. Thank you.